Michael Brown here. I am so glad we get to spend this time together on the Line of Fire. Sit back, enjoy the program. If it blesses you, share it with a friend. 2011 looks like a year of shaking that could even surpass 1968. But what does it mean for the church today? What does it mean to you and me?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into The Line of Fire.
Have you noticed, friends, that revolution is in the air everywhere? Have you noticed, friends, it's not just in the Muslim world as revolutions are taking place at an unprecedented level, threatening long-term dictatorships, the latest now in Libya, heating up, intensifying rallies in China, all over America, demonstrations in different cities. Nothing like this has happened since 1968, which was a massively revolutionary year. My question for us as God's people is, what time is it? What is happening? What should we be on the alert for? What is it time for us to do as God's people? What is God doing? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call, 866-348-7884. You can interact with me online on our Facebook page right now. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And if you're listening today, President's Day, and you normally don't get to listen to the program, welcome. It's a joy to be with you. By God's grace, this program serves as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Therefore, the subject of revolution is of great interest to me. A little later in the show, we're going to talk about our current president, interact, hear some feedback from you about some questions, some things that have been discussed about him on the liberal airwaves. We're going to get your feedback on that. But first, this subject of revolution and upheaval. I've written books on revolution, Revolution in the Call of Holy War, Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. Revolution can be a good word and a bad word. As a bad word, we associate revolution with rebellion against authority. As a bad word, we associate revolution with things like the Communist Revolution, the French Revolution, violence, anarchy, tyranny, brutality, bloodshed. That is all negative. That is all contrary to gospel principles. In a positive sense, revolution is radical, dramatic, sweeping change. And Jesus came into the world not just as a religious teacher, but as a revolutionary leader, leading God's revolution in the earth, meaning introducing radical, dramatic change through the gospel, not through rebellion against authority, not through hatred, intimidation, violence, not through brutality and tyranny, but through sacrificial love, through uncompromising truth, through shining light in darkness, by preaching a message of liberty to the captives and setting them free, which is what revolutions are about. Freedom. Come on, what's the word that's constantly associated with the word revolution? Freedom. Freedom. The question is, what does that mean for the church today? What does that mean for those of us living in this year of 2011? 1968 was the year I was bar mitzvahed at 13, the confirmation rite you go through, the coming into manhood in Judaism. But it wasn't a major thing to me. It was more of a social event. 1968, November of that year, was when I went to my first rock concert and saw Jimi Hendrix in concert. Man, I want to be like the rock stars. And I didn't know what was happening throughout society. I didn't recognize the significance of the fact that in France, for example, there was the May Revolution, began on campuses, spread out across the nation. What 10, 12 million workers involved looked like it was going to topple the government of De Gaulle. There was Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, falling to the Soviet Union in 68. There was revolution and upheaval, country after country around the world. The German people speak of the 68 generation. It was a revolutionary time and season. Generation gap, fighting against authority, changing of ideologies. Here in America, it was a year of massive upheaval, 1968. The shocking assassinations, first of Dr. Martin Luther King, and then Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and America was shaking. There were riots breaking out in cities all over America. I mean, I'm just mentioning a few things here and there. I've got several books. I don't know if it's three, four, five, just written on the subject of 1968 as revolution was happening all over society. Remember in Mexico, those that can remember back to the Olympic Games in Mexico, when some of our black athletes won medals, gold medal, etc., and then on the platform held their fists up, the Black Panther salute, and they got banned from Olympics for life. I remember watching that as a kid. Are they going to do it? Is there going to be some protest thing? They did. Wow. You know, it was a time of upheaval in the society. And if you look from 1960 and then go back one generation later in America, the divorce rate doubled. Someone said if you fell asleep in 1960 and woke up in 2000, and you probably could even trace it to like late 70s already because of the changes that took place in the 60s and early 70s. If you fell asleep, 1960, woke up in the year 2000, you'd find the divorce rate double. You'd find teen suicide triple. You'd find reported violent crime up four times. Prison population up five times. Kids born out of wedlock up six times. People living together outside of wedlock up seven times. There was a revolution. We call that a counterculture revolution here in America. And for the most part, the church slept its way through a counterculture revolution. In fact, many people said, this is it. We're out of here. Signs of the times. Look at the wickedness. Look at the young people rebelling. Look at the drug use. Look at the rock music. Look at the sexual promiscuity. Look at radical women's lib. Look at gay liberation movement. Look at everything that's happening. Look at Woodstock in 1969. Look at this. This is the end. It's over. And of course, we're still here now in the year 2011. And those social forces that felt they were fighting for good, and there were good social forces like civil rights movement, but those social forces that felt they were fighting for their rights, be it radical women's lib, be it gay liberation, be it sexual revolution, be it whatever it was, they brought great transformation on society while we, the church, have been increasingly marginalized. We slept our way through, in many ways, through a counterculture revolution in the 60s. And then as God began to move in what we call the Jesus People movement, late 60s, early 70s, I got saved in 71. That time, heroin shooting, LSD using, rebellious Jewish rock drummer. When I got saved, it was part of another revolution. We call it the Jesus Revolution. Swept across America, swept around the world. And in many ways, the church slept its way through that and didn't realize what was happening. Now, I've got some quotes I'm going to share with you in a little while. But I want to ask you now, we are in the midst of revolutionary times. We are in the midst of revolutionary times. We are in the midst of great shaking. Does this mean we're on our way out of here? A sign that Jesus is coming any moment and get ready to get out of here? Or is there something revolutionary God wants to say to us? Or is it going to be business as usual and we just kind of miss the mark again today? What time is it? What is God saying? How should we respond in this hour? 866-34-TRUTH. I've got more to say. I've got some quotes to share with you. And then again, want to interact with you about our president, President Obama, on President's Day today. But first, let me go to the phones. David in Homeworth, Ohio, thank you for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm blessed. Thank you, sir. How about with you?
Can't wait till your new book comes out. I'm chomping at the bit. I've been waiting on this book for years.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate that. David is talking about A Queer Thing Happened to America, which will be out within 1 month from today. And we've promised it to some folks up front, so everyone that has been promised to will be getting it.
Yeah,
and,
you promised a copy of that book to me. I'm looking forward to it.
I
just want to comment real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake unto righteousness and sin not. I think this is the greatest time for the church. The greater the persecution, the more they afflicted Israel, the more they prospered and grew. We need to seize the moment and live for God with all our heart and with eternity etched upon our eyes, hands, feet, and all the rest.
All right, so David, I'm absolutely with you that this is the time to wake up, stand up. Why is it that when there's all this shaking in the world that tells you that's time for the church to wake up? I mean, for some people, that sounds like 2 + 2 = 8. They don't get the math. So explain the connection. Explain it for us.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Like in Sudan, where women, for serving Christ, their breasts are cut off so they can't nurse their babies. They torture the pastors. In 10 years, the church has doubled in the Sudan. People that really are loving God just become red hot. And people that are playing church in the time when it costs you either fall away or pull back. And I just believe and am excited that what the enemy is meaning for evil, that God's going to use for good, And I believe, just like you do, I believe a post-trib gospel, that God is going to purify his bride and his church and prepare us for days of glory.
Got it. All right, David, loud and clear, thanks for coming on the air, sounding the alarm. And we look forward to sending you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. We've been working on it for years, and it'll be a joy to get it in your hands, man.
I'm telling everybody about it. I want him to get a copy. I think this is cutting edge, what you're doing.
Well, thank you, sir. God bless you, David. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Here, quick word before the break. When things start to get shaken in this material earthly world, something else is happening, friends. It's not just people doing things, crazy things, good things. When things are being shaken, that's when the kingdom of God, which is unshakable, can advance. What time is it? What is God saying? What should we be doing as believers? Back with that. Oh, and our radio listeners' lunch in Winston-Salem. Tell you about that coming up on Thursday. Thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. Rejoicing that we can have this time together. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. What time is it? No, don't look at your clock, your watch, your cell phone. What time is it on the earth? What is God doing in the earth? There's upheaval all over the place. There is shaking all over the place. Revolutionary movements in the Middle East, revolutionary movements within America, the Tea Party movement, whether you agree with it or not, it was a revolutionary kind of movement. Things are shaking all over the place. We're having protests in the streets of America, protests in the streets of China, protests in the Muslim world, things shaking. It's a revolutionary time. What does that mean? What does it mean to us as believers? AskDrBrown.org. You can weigh in there as well. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay. Before I give you some more thoughts on this and just give you perspective, I want to remind all of our friends in the Triad, Winston-Salem area, we are going to have a special luncheon, our first ever. You always want to be part of a first ever event because there's never a first ever again after the first one. Our first ever listeners' luncheon radio rally for the Line of Fire. It will be taking place 12 noon, beginning at 12 noon at the Golden Corral Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem. I will joyfully pay for your lunch and give you a free CD just for coming because we want to meet our listeners. We want to meet our supporters. We want to let you know what happens beyond the Line of Fire, some real encouraging stuff that you'll hear, and give you a vision of some amazing things that are about to unfold. So it'll be a great opportunity to meet. Here's what we'd like you to do because seating is limited. We want to get a head count of those that are coming. If you're going to be coming, if you're going to be bringing a friend, which is fine, we won't have child care, so this is for adults, all right, don't bring all the kids in your neighborhood, all right. Give us a call at 888-378-FIRE. Call right now, 888-378-3473. Just say, I'm coming with my spouse, I'm coming with two workers, you know, three of us will be coming. Just leave us the information. That's all you need. Don't need to talk to anybody, 888-378-FIRE. Okay, when I wrote the book, Revolution in the Church, the first chapter of the book is called A Dog Food Revolution. And I note some revealing signs of the times and just how the word revolution was kind of everywhere. You know, Radio Shack, 2000 annual report, joined the revolution. I saw a full page ad, USA Today, June 26, 2000. Four new colors and fragrances, twice the lather of soap, twice the fun. It's a refreshingly different kind of clean. New Zest body wash, zestfully clean, refreshingly different. It said join the revolution. It's a Zest soap, a body wash revolution. And the word just started to occur everywhere you turn. There was something revolutionary mattress, revolutionary golfwear. I'm thinking, revolutionary golfwear? Come on. There's one place I don't associate with revolution. It's on the golf course. But anyway, I said that just to say that there's something in the air that's going on. And the second chapter of my book, Revolution in the Church, was called It's Time to Wake Up. We cannot afford to sleep our way through another revolution. Listen to some of these quotes. 1967, Professor William Ward Ayer, writing in Bibliotheca Sacra, it's a journal that came out of Dallas Theological Seminary, preaching to combat the present revolution, July 67. If the Lord tarries, young men now preparing for the ministry will be preaching for at least 20 years in the most complex revolutionary period that has been seen in modern times. This revolution is not like the many political upsets of Europe and South America. Today's arising is world revolution. He recognized there was a world revolution at hand. It's been just building, 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 and boom, exploding, especially now in the year 2011. Look at what Bill Bright in his book Revolution Now, 1969. We live in the most revolutionary period of human history. Social band-aids and reform antiseptics give little hope for a cure or even an improvement. A revolution is needed. You can experience this revolution. In fact, you can help bring it to pass. And then, most prophetically, 1970, Tom Skinner. I'm convinced America is at her crisis hour. Revolution is inevitable. It's just a matter of which faction is going to prove strongest and will win out in the end. I believe most Americans are so apathetic that they will just sit back and go to whoever wins the struggle. Friends, it is what happened. Our values shifted. Our culture shifted. Our family structures shifted because most Americans were so apathetic, sat back and just go to whoever wins the struggle by the influence of the media and by the influence of the masses and just by the influence of where the educational system goes. And because the church fails to be salt and light, the church fails to be a counterculture people, the church fails to go against the grain sometimes in situations like this, not with outward protests, not by yelling and screaming on the streets, not by brutality and anger and hatred and intimidation, but by following Jesus, we go against the grain, we go against the crowd, we function as a moral conscience of society, we function as lights in dark places. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It does lead to rejection. It does lead to opposition. But praise God, it leads to positive change, and it leads to introducing people to Jesus, who makes all the difference. Tragically, though, the church did not, by and large, the church in America did not recognize in the midst of the 1960s what was happening. It wasn't just that young people were turning to drugs, sex, rock and roll, and Eastern religion. It was more than that. Young people were seeking. It was now the post-World War II era, now all these babies born of those that had been in the war, young generation rising up, more and more educational opportunities, more and more opportunities to go into college, more and more opportunities to have a better job than your parents had, a better lifestyle than your parents had, quote, the American dream, a nicer car, a nicer home, or nicer lawn, or better education. Wow, it's happening. But then the Vietnam War. Boy, that brought a lot of insecurity and trauma and questioning. And then hang on, is just material prosperity the whole goal of why we're here? And then, oh, the upheaval and shaking of the assassination of President Kennedy in 63. And then behind the scenes, I mean, it was public, but something happening behind the scenes more spiritually is the Supreme Court removes organized public prayer, organized public Bible reading from our schools, 62, 63. And how about the introduction of the birth control pill, 1960, just quietly, no big deal, no big fanfare, but now sexual acts can be separated much more easily from procreation and relationship and so on. And hey, anything goes. Before you know it, there's upheaval in the society. But people were also asking questions and seeking. People were also asking questions and saying, there must be more. Hey, Dad, why do you push me to do really well in school? Son, if you do well in school, you can get into the best college. But Dad, why do I want to get into the best college? Well, if you get in the best college, son, you can get the best job. But Dad, why do I want to get the best job? So you can give your kid the best education, so he can get into college, so he can get in the best college, he can get the best job, give your grandkids the best education. At a certain point, they say, is that it? And look, I'm all for education. That's not the that's not my question. The question is the purpose of it, what we do with it. Are we just here to be educated animals who reproduce for another generation, or do we have a divine purpose while we are here, friends? Of course we do. Of course we do. And those kind of questions were being asked by people in the 60s. They were looking for something. They were looking for something, tragically. To a great extent, the church did not come forward and say, this is what you're looking for. You need God. You need Jesus. You need to turn from your sins and find the real purpose of life. And the 60s were really hijacked by the enemy, by and large, in terms of spiritually, in terms of what happened with the young people. Jesus began to work powerfully in what we call the Jesus People Revolution, but sadly the church didn't get it. Are we getting it today? You say, well, you haven't told me what time it is. Okay, we come back. I'm going to tell you what's happening in society, what I understand spiritually we must take hold of. And I want to play a clip for you about our president and get your feedback as soon as we come back right here. According to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, in David's army, men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. What time is it? Revolution, upheaval happening all over the world, happening in America. What time is it, and what should we, God's people, be doing? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Online, AskDrBrown.org. In case you've missed the announcement, if you're just tuning in now, Thursday, this coming Thursday, so just 3 days from, that's what time it is. It's 3 days before our first ever Listener's Luncheon Radio Rally. We'll be treating you to lunch at Golden Corral at Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem, giving you a free CD just for showing up, sharing some really neat things that are happening with Line of Fire, letting you know beyond the radio program the things that are happening that will really encourage your heart, some amazing doors that have been opened. But we need you to give us a call just to tell us you're coming, okay? 888-378-FIRE. That's all we need, just a head count, because seating's limited. 888-378-3473. Give us a buzz. Just say, I'll be coming with two other people or one other person, whatever. We will look forward to meeting you. I'll be thrilled to meet you face-to-face. And some of the Truth team, including my dear friend Stu Epperson, will be there to meet you also. All right. Before I get back to the subject of revolution in the air, how should we be living? It is President's Day. And I want to get your take on our President Obama. You know, he is not the primary subject of this show. In fact, he's not even a frequent subject of the show because there are lots of other things that we discuss. And even though I strongly disagree with many of his policies and many of his convictions and beliefs, like appointing to his Faith Advisory Council, the head of the National Gay Lesbian Churches of America, Metropolitan Community Churches, I profoundly differ with that. I'm not an Obama basher, nor am I a dyed-in-the-wool Republican conservative. My primary orientation towards social issues is kingdom-oriented as much as I can be. So I don't primarily identify with one party or the other. But I found these comments really interesting. I don't watch this program, Bill Maher's Real Time, and what was it previously, Politically Incorrect. And I guess he's on the other side of the fence for me in terms of religious and moral beliefs, and probably political beliefs, as just about as possible. But it's an interesting comment that he has with his panel about questioning whether our president's Christianity is real or is it just feigned. And when he comes to the middle politically on various issues, is he doing that because that's the only way that he can get people to vote for him or follow him or support him? Or is it because he is really a centrist? So let's listen to this, and then I want your feedback. Do you agree or disagree with what is being said here?
In the middle of the night. Or if he gave him sodium pentothal. I think he's a centrist the way he's a Christian.
I think he's a pragmatist. But don't you think he's a pragmatist?
Yes, that's different.
Yeah.
He's pretending to be a centrist, but I think what he really would like... all right, how about this question?
Well, he's more progressive than most centrists, but he's always been pretty centrist.
Well, but he is
a Christian. He is a Christian. He's just a centrist Christian. He's not a prophetic
Christian.
Well,
you like
Christian.
To think he's an atheist.
His mother was a secular humanist, and I think
but he reacted against that, though.
Well,
he changed his mind on the God question, Brother Bill. He changed his mind on the God question.
You know what? It's like when he says, I struggle with gay marriage. He always says, you don't struggle with gay marriage. You're fine with gay marriage.
Oh, no,
you
have to pretend. He supports gay marriage.
Yeah, of course.
No, he says he struggles with it. He doesn't question.
Yeah, but that's the political.
Yeah, it's
but being a Christian, politics. Not a political orientation for the president. He is.
No, I just don't believe him.
But he is a centrist.
Well, he did go to church before he was a candidate.
Bill, what do you think he is?
For the president.
I said a secular humanist like his mother.
You think he's agnostic, actually?
Yeah, kind of. But, okay,
What's wrong? You say that? What kind of evidence you got? What kind of evidence you
let's
got?
Let's not get into that, because we don't want to get into a religious discussion.
No,
except here's the other side of it. Which
somebody
is
wrong about this thing.
Okay, all right.
I tell you what, we'll jump in right here. Okay, so just out of curiosity, just your own personal view, when Mr. Obama speaks about his Christian faith, do you believe that? Do you believe it's just a nominal Christianity, it's the Christianity he knows? Do you believe it is simply a political thing that he does that? And when he governs in any way that could be considered centrist, is he doing that completely be pragmatic, practical. That's the only reason he's doing it. These things do not reflect his actual convictions. But he knows if he comes out full-blown with what we would call a radical left or even socialist agenda, that he'd be rejected. Therefore, he has to try to introduce it more gradually and try to govern in the middle to get people to go with him. What's your personal belief? 866-34-TRUTH, being it that it's President's Day. I've had that clip for a few days thinking about it. I thought I'd play it, get your feedback. 866-348-7884. Do you take his professions of Christianity seriously? When he says he struggles with gay marriage, not sure, you know, where does he stand? And marriage is man and woman. Are those just political statements? Is he a radical proponent of same-sex marriage? Governing in the middle, is that to be taken seriously or not? Just curious to get your feedback on that. Okay, before I go to the phones, let me say something very emphatically about the shaking that's taking place in the world today. If we miss the fact that there's a shaking taking place, and if we don't ask the questions of what time it is, then we will fail to be a voice. We will fail to have a timely word for this generation. We will fail to understand the signs of the times and remember how Jesus rebuked the generation of religious leaders and says, look, you can predict the weather, but you don't understand the signs of the times. First thing, recognize that something unusual is happening. Recognize that it is not merely political. Recognize that something deeper is in the air and that we as God's people must seize on this moment. I want to say that first very plainly. Secondly, this to me is not a get out of here call. Man, everything's shaky. That means Antichrist is going to be here any second. That means we're out of here any second. This is not a we're out of here thing to me. Quite the opposite. This to me means there's massive potential to see a holy advance in God's kingdom, bringing radical, glorious change to many, many lives. But if we don't understand in the church what's happening, if we don't understand the nature of the revolutionary times in which we're living, we will be even more marginalized and left out when the dust settles. So I'm going to give you my thoughts in terms of what this means practically. Still, a little later in the broadcast, first let me grab the phones. George in Jacksonville, what's your take
Hello,
on that?
Hello, doctor.
Hello, George.
Hello, doctor.
Hello,
As
sir.
You know, Matthew 15:8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. Their heart is far from me. In terms of our president, it's clear that a true Christian cannot support abortion. A true Christian cannot support homosexuality.
So it's pretty black and white to you that it's not a true Christian faith.
Yeah, and then he gave a testimonial last year, and I scrutinized it carefully, and there was no justification by faith. Mm-hmm. There was no blood atonement through Jesus Christ, you know, but he's saying all these things. I'm a Christian. But we at our local church here in Jacksonville just can't see it biblically.
Got it. All right, so just we're right at the break. So do you think he has just espoused a liberal, non-biblical Christianity, or do you think it's all a sham? All right, well, we just lost George there, but he weighed in clearly. If you want to take issue with his position, feel free to do so on the other side of the break at 866-34-TRUTH. And I will tell you, yes, I will tell you some of the key things I believe we must take hold of at this moment. We are back right here on President's Day on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking about revolution in the air. What time is it? What should we be taking hold of at the moment as believers if things are happening in the natural like this, upheaval shaking governments around the world and even here in America? What's happening spiritually? What does it mean for the people of God? We don't want to sleep our way through a revolution again like we did in the 60s. AskDrBrown.org got a bunch of messages on the theme of revolution, Jesus revolution, the God kind of revolution, not the violent, bloody human revolutions. You can check out some of our messages there on the website, AskDrBrown.org. Order some of the books and materials as well. All right, before I give you some of my own thoughts and insights, our last caller suggested strongly, felt very, very plainly and articulated plainly, that listening carefully to our president's statements about his Christian faith, he saw nothing in his testimony that would indicate a true Christianity. In other words, a justification by faith that would produce a new birth, a recognition of sin and atonement, etc. And based on his stands, his pro-abortion stands, his pro-quote gay rights stands, that you could not be a Christian and hold to those. He's been in office 2 years. Those of you who listen to the show regularly know this is not a President Obama bashing show or some conservative right-wing talk show. This is a Jesus-oriented, kingdom-focused show that will talk about issues in the society because God's involved in this world. After 2 years with our president being in office, do you take his profession of faith seriously? Do any of you take his profession of Christian faith seriously? Do you think it's true? Do you think you can? He can be biblical? Maybe you voted for him, taking it seriously. You question it now. Maybe you think he's being unfairly attacked. Maybe you think it's just a political sham because he had to profess that to be elected. Maybe you think the problem is it's the nature of the Christianity he was exposed to that wasn't really gospel. It was more social-oriented. We'll take some more calls. Try to get them in. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm just asking for your opinion. I'm not going to argue with you if I differ with you or try to tell you that you're wrong. I just want to give you the opportunity to voice your opinion. Don't get mad at me if we meet face-to-face one day and say, well, I disagreed with you. Well, the phone lines are open first and foremost for people who disagree. I'm not just looking for people to call in and support my position, nor did I give a position on this today, by the way. So if you differ, don't tell me that you don't have the opportunity, because I'm not going to take your hat off and be nasty to you, but we will let you express your own views. Okay, back to the revolutionary times in which we are living. Friends, one of the big trends in America for the last decade is people dropping out of what we would call organized church, dropping out of identification with Christianity, not converting to atheism, not converting to Islam, but the numbers went from, say, 85% professing Christianity to 75% in, what, a decade or two, according to many surveys. And it was just because people were dropping out of religion in many ways. Why? Church as usual is not going to cut it. Unless there is a real presence of God and unless we are living differently, it is not going to cut it. Now, I know people can leave for wrong reasons and get disenfranchised and this and that. I understand that can happen. But let's be candid. Let's be honest, friends. These are revolutionary times, and the gospel is the most revolutionary message of all. And it's not just going to come sitting in a dainty pew, hearing a lovely sermon and singing a lovely song. We are going to have to live this out in a profound way that brings us into a godly conflict with the society around us. And All right, tell you what, let me get to another call, and then I will lay out exactly my thoughts on the other side of the break. Fair enough? Bill, in Greensboro, what's your slant on this?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I think it's pretty obvious what his belief system is. After being a member of a Black Liberation Theology church for over 20 years, which is more of a political denomination than a spiritual one, I mean, if we put any ethnic descriptor in front of the word theology, I think it ceases to be theology. And his associations with every individual of note who's informed his thinking from the time he was a child on supports that Marxist-leaning belief system.
Got it. So he might really be serious in his mind about what it means to be a Christian, but it is a Christianity that has been fueled by an erroneous theology, and therefore it's not a Christian according to the scripture.
Exactly. I would compare it to maybe Mormonism, where salvation and Jesus Christ are, that the same terms are used, but the definitions are very much different.
Yes, sir. Hey, Bill, we're up against a break, but very clear, and I think to a great extent that's how we have to analyze things, that there is a Christian association that he does make that he can be sincere about, but it is not the gospel of the scriptures. All right, back with my thoughts on what time it is and what we as believers need to do. All right, time to sprint towards the finish line here. Okay, first, on this President's Day, can I remind you, calling you to pray for our president and his family, in particular those of you who are convinced that he does not really know the Lord or are concerned that he does not really know the Lord, pray first and foremost that God would save him, that God would bring him to repentance, faith, transformation, and that God would use him to be a blessing to America and the nations. If you're going to be critical, be sure to be prayerful, and that will change a critical tone to a constructive tone, even if it is in profound disagreement. And remember, Thursday, 12 noon, listeners luncheon, Golden Corral, Haynes Mall, lunch on us, free CD. Show up. I want to meet you there. I want to talk to you about some things that will edify and encourage you, and just get to know the folks that are out there listening in the greater Winston-Salem area. Give us a call if you're coming, 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-FIRE, just to tell us you'll be coming, how many coming with you. Okay, what is very obviously happening around the world right now? Discontent, questioning of some of the power structures that have been, conflict now between different approaches like happening in Wisconsin here in America. A lot of upheaval, an unprecedented time of shaking right now. Historically, I cannot remember anything in terms of a political shaking on a worldwide level, a kingdom against kingdom kind of shaking on a worldwide level, is until we go back to 1968, and we're early on in 2011 in terms of how it's going to unfold. But what's a common characteristic? Where are people? People are out on the streets. What are people doing? They're saying enough is enough. Whether you agree with the cause or not, it's not the issue. I'm just asking what's happened. To me, this is a sign, friends. First the natural, then the spiritual. Sometimes that's a biblical principle across the board. So let me give you my humble attempt, my best shot at giving a concise statement as to where we are today. Here's my bottom line, friends. These are revolutionary times. They have been increasing in intensity and in frequency for some years now, and we are in a season of real intense upheaval. On the one hand, it's a great opportunity for the gospel. Oh, yeah, in some of these Islamic countries, you could have a more fundamentalist regime come in, say, in Egypt, that could happen, and that could be very difficult for believers there. But where you have a season of shaking, where you have a season of upheaval, where things like this are happening, it means people are asking questions. It means people are willing to challenge things that have been long established. It's a great opportunity for the gospel. Think harvest, 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 harvest. It's also a reminder for us as God's people that we cannot go on with business as usual in the church. Listen, a new program is not going to do it. The latest, greatest fad is not going to do it. The latest, greatest mega success story is not going to do it. It's time for us to count the cost. It's time for us to say, I am going to back my faith with my words. I'm going to back my faith with my actions. I'm going to come out from my convenient closet. I'm going to come out from my convenient pew. I'm going to come out from my convenient safety zone. And I am going to take things on in terms of addressing the godlessness and lostness of our society with boldness, proclaiming the name of Jesus as the one and only ultimate difference maker. It is time for us to think beyond Sunday morning services or Messianic congregations with a Saturday morning service, whatever the day of the week is. It's time for us to think beyond day of the week faith. It's time for us to think beyond four walls faith that is confined and is not dangerous. And it is time for us, in the love of God and following the nonviolent principles of Jesus, to go out into our societies and be dangerous to the devil and dangerous to the kingdom of darkness and dangerous to the kingdom of hell, and thereby advance the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus. This is a time for revolutionary thinking in the church. Let's not get stuck behind four walls any longer. Let's go out and make a difference. Oh, a whole lot more to come beginning tomorrow right here on the Line of Fire.